mean to bust your bubble, but girls of the world ain't nothing but trouble. So next time a girl gives you the play, just remember my rhymes and get the hell away. Just last week when I was walking down the street, I observed this lovely lady that I wanted to meet. I walked up to her, I said hello, she said, hey, you're kinda cute. I said, yes, I know, but by the way, sweetheart, what's your name? She said, my friends like to call me Exotic Elaine. I said, my name is the Prince. She said, why? I said, well, I don't know, I'm just a hell of a guy. But enough about me, yo, let's talk about you and all the wonderful things that you and I can do. I pop some cash in a little bit of time. I showed some cash, then the girl was mine.
The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivy from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the January 2018 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. We're going to continue with Olympic preview. Here on page 37. Freestyle skiing. Maddie Bowman. Skiing down a mountain is tricky enough. When you add in jumps and tricks, things get really interesting. Some competitions, such as aerials, in which skiers launch themselves straight up in the air, are based strictly on judges' scores, while others have timed elements. In ski cross, racers compete on the course with jumps and banked turns. The half pipe is all about impressing the judges. Bowman, who first got on skis on her second birthday, did just that at the 2014 Olympics, taking the gold medal in halfpipe in the first year it was an Olympic sport. Freestyle skiing. Nick Gepper, Gus Kenworthy, Joss Christensen. Imagine a winter storm hitting your local skate park. Then you'd have slope style, in which skiers try to impress judges by doing tricks on a course that has rails and jumps. The sport made its Olympic debut in 2014 when Christensen, Kenworthy, and Gepper completed an American sweep, finishing 1-2-3. Maybe this year they'll give the rest of the world a chance. Moving on to page 40. Skeleton, Matt Antoine. This sport got its name because early sleds looked like human skeletons. Competitors get a running start and then hop on, hurtling head first down the course at speeds of up to 85 miles per hour. There's no steering wheel, so a slider controls the sled with subtle body movements. The slightest head turn can change the sled's direction. Antoine, a Wisconsin native who also enjoys auto racing, won bronze at the 2014 Games. Speed skating, Brittany Bowe. Speed skaters race at distances ranging from 500 to 10,000 meters. Events take place on a 400-meter track, and competitors race against the clock two at a time. In short track speed skating, they race against each other on a 101-meter course. Bo collided with a teammate during training and suffered a concussion, which kept her off the ice most of the 2016-17 season. There were plenty of times I just felt lost, she says. My sense of self was questionable. She's glad to be back. Cross-country skiing. Simi Hamilton and Jesse Diggins. Cross-country races take place on mostly flat courses and can be as long as 50 kilometers or 31 miles. The sport has traditionally been dominated by Scandinavian athletes. Diggins is hoping to become just the second United States skier to win an Olympic medal. Her silver and bronze medals at the 2017 World Championships give her confidence she can beat the field again in South Korea. I know that it's possible because I've done it before, she says. Same competitors, same race. Guide to the Games. A picture here of a number of skiers and skaters, jumpers. Keep your eye on Sarah Takanashi. Ski jumpers can travel more than the length of a football field in the air while only being about 15 feet above the ground. No woman flies farther or more gracefully than this 21-year-old from Japan. Jumpers get point for distance and style. Takanashi has won 4 world titles and should add Olympic gold to her trophy case. This story is hot. The games won't officially open until the Olympic flame is lit at the opening ceremony. The flame travels to Pyeongchang Olympic Stadium from Greece, where it was lit in October. For 101 days leading up to the games, it made its way through South Korea, where 7,500 people carried it in a relay. The torch used to carry the flame is 700 millimeters in length, representing the altitude of Pyeongchang, which is 700 meters above sea level. Meet Suho Rang. The white tiger is considered Korea's guardian animal, so it's natural that it should be the basis for the game's mascot. According to the Olympic website, Suho Rang not only has a challenging spirit and passion, but is also a trustworthy friend who protects the athletes, spectators, and all the participants of the Olympic Games. Evgenia Medvedeva, the 2-time defending women's figure skating world champ, will be the favorite to win gold if the Russian chooses to compete as a neutral athlete. Olainar Jonadalen, the 43-year-old Norwegian biathlete, will try to add to his medal haul. He has 13, a Winter Games record. All that glitters. The medals awarded in Pyeongchang have an interesting texture. They were designed to resemble tree trunks, which symbolize the work Koreans have done in planning the games. A gold medal weighs 586 grams, but only 6 of those grams are gold. The rest is silver. The edges of the medals incorporate Hangul, the Korean alphabet. The future. Sports Illustrated successfully predicted the Astros' 2017 World Series win on a 2014 cover. We are determined to top them, even if it takes us the next 200 years. Here are some predictions of our predictions. Sports Illustrated, LeBron the King will be a Laker. You have to start somewhere. Later this year, we predict that LeBron James will take his talents to Venice Beach. Seems plausible. Will LeBron leave the Lakers? Mark our words. Your 2023-2025 World Series champs. Moncada and the White Sox are going all the way, 3 times in a row. 2020, after getting the LeBron pick right, we get cocky. Picking a World Series three years out is impressive. Prophesying a dynasty 3 years out is better. The Super Bowl will end at 11:46 p.m. 2025, in our last issue before becoming all digital, SI Kids decide to go out with a bang, guessing the exact minute that the Super Bowl will end. Unfortunately, we forget to specify a time zone. First hologram issue. She will win the United States Open in 20 years in a blue dress. We're pretty sure that the dress will be blue. 2032, 14 years from now, all of our predictions are made by our robot intern, Buzzo. Using his computer mind, he makes forecasts more than 20 years into the future. Sports Illustrated for Kids, the Astros will not win the World Series this year. Might be the Yankees or the Dodgers, but don't quote us on that. 2049. After Buzzo joins the robot uprising of 2042 when the humans retaliate with a technological blackout, we're back to basics. Paper pages and simple prognostications. S-I-K. She did it. The dress was red, but still. Cyborg LeBron back to Cleveland. 2052. As Buzzo's outlandish picks began to come true, we frenetically tried to rebuild his fried circuits. Meanwhile, Cyborg LeBron finally announces his return to Cleveland from L.A. 2205, nearly 2 centuries from the present day, SI Kids reaches its final form, an easily ingestible magazine pill. Consult a doctor if you become allergic to SI Kids. Follow my lead, pages 42 and 43. Baylor's Natalie Chu is the team's best shooter. She's also a trailblazer looking for others to join her on the court. Forgive Natalie Chu for having a fangirl moment. The 6'1" sophomore Baylor guard gets positively giddy at the mention of the Brooklyn Nets' Jeremy Lin, even more so when she thinks about the possibility of meeting him. I would say, I'm a huge fan. You're amazing. You're doing great. You're great. Chu, 19, says with a giggle. Lin isn't just some player she looks up to. Like Chin, Chu is changing the perception of Asian American basketball players. Chu was born in Texas, but her mom, Quilan Li, grew up in China. Quan Li was recognized for her basketball talent when she was 13. She moved away from her family to train with the national team. 5 years later, she was playing professionally in China. Quan Li moved to Texas in the mid-1990s with her husband, Joseph, who was studying there. 3 years afterward, Natalie was born. They didn't have much money, and the living experience in the United States was completely different. For basketball players in China, everything was easy, Quan Li says. In America, no one knows you. But they had basketball. Quan Li became Natalie's coach. We got into a lot of fights, Cho says. We wouldn't talk. It was hard. Usually with coaches, you just see them in practice. But then you go home. With my mom, I was with her 24/7. Says Quan Li, I just want her to achieve and want to prove that we can play this game. It was a long journey. Natalie worked with other coaches, too. From 6th to 9th, she played for NBA veteran Jason Terry on his Lady Jets AAU team. He's been my role model, other than my mom, Chu says. Despite her dedication to the game, she didn't always command the respect of her opponents because she was Asian American. In middle school, Chu says, defenders were like, oh, okay, I got her. They thought guarding me would be easy. But that fueled my fire. It just made me want to do better. I wanted to show them, you don't know what you're talking about. Her focus and all the grueling workouts paid off. At Plano West High School outside Dallas, Chu was a McDonald's All-American in 2016. Natalie is where she is because of her mom, says Baylor coach Kim Mulkey. She has an unbelievable love for the game. She wants us to push Natalie to limits that Natalie doesn't even know she has. Game changer. As a freshman last season, Chu averaged 4.7 points off the bench and led the Bears in three-point percentage, 42.3. Choi has been playing a bigger role this season for the number 8-ranked Bears. Through 10 games, she was averaging 8.6 points and shooting 40% from three-point range. She is our best shooter, and she can play any position, Mulkey says. The Bears are stacked in the front court with 6'7" Kalani Brown and 6'4" Lauren Cox, meaning Chu, a sharpshooter, should get plenty of open look. But Chu has goals beyond her success. She hopes that by playing for a top D1 program, she can inspire more Asian Americans to get involved in college athletics. According to the Institute for Diversity and Ethics in Sports, Asian Americans made up just 2.4% of female athletes across the three collegiate divisions in 2015-2016, the most recent year for which data is available. In men's sports, the number was even lower, 1.8%. In Division I women's basketball, the number was 0.7%. My Asian American friends love basketball, but their main focus is academics, Chu says. Branching out culturally and excelling in both would be a great opportunity. Given basketball's popularity in China, there should be opportunities for players like Chu to be involved in the sport. More than 190 million people there streamed the NBA Finals, compared to around 21 million total viewers in the United States. I realize how big of a role I could play in Asian American communities, she says. You don't really see a lot of Asians playing elite basketball. If I could open this door and open anyone else's door to how well we could do, that would be great. Let's play football. Hand off a great tradition to the next generation. Football teaches lessons that last a lifetime. Sign your kids up for an NFL Flag or Heads Up program this season. playfootball.com. Valentine's Day, be mine. This February, spread some love with these sporty cards. Cut them out and pass them around. Here's one with, "Sure, you sure are special," from baseball great. "No one can judge our love." That's from Aaron Judge with the New York Yankees. "Will you be my Valentine?" Darryl Valentine of the Chicago Bulls. "You're my darling." From the Hurricanes. "Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy, but here's my number." So Carly, a soccer player. "I could Durant and derave about my love for you." From Kevin Durant. "I found you just in time to tucker you into my life." Justin Tucker. Now let's kick this relationship off right. Kicker for the Ravens. "Roses are red, violets are blue, sugary is sweet, the earth is flat." That's from Kyrie Irving, the Boston Celtics. "I'm upgrading you from Crosby to Cross Bay." That's from Sidney Crosby of the Penguins. "You're quite the catch." Oh, looks like the ball is falling on the ground from the Patriots or the Falcons team. And finally, "Let's boogie." Boogie Cousins of the New Orleans Pelicans, the NBA. Spartan existence. When a surefire lottery pick turned down millions to return to campus for another season, even his coach thought he was a weirdo. But Michigan State sophomore Miles Bridges, the player of the year favorite, had a simple reason for sticking around. He really liked being in college. Maybe Miles Bridges isn't as crazy as his mom thought. Maybe he isn't a weirdo, like Tom Izzo says. Maybe returning to Michigan State for his sophomore year instead of being an NBA lottery pick was a normal and sensible decision. And we're the ones who are out of our minds. You're skeptical. Of course you are. You have come to see college basketball as a highway rest stop where the best players play 30 games, gas up, and buy Doritos on their way to the NBA. Bridges was tabbed as one and done before he even started his one. Kentucky coach John Calipari promised Bridges' mother that if Miles came to Lexington, he would be ready to leave after 1 year. Michigan State's Izzo had the same idea. "I won't hold him back." But what if Bridges held himself back? What would people say? After the last game of his freshman season, a 90-70 NCAA tournament loss to Kansas, he sat in the locker room and thought about the decision he had already made. "I knew I was staying," he says, "but I knew the backlash was coming, people going after me." What would you say? Why would you stay? He knew one of those people was his mother. Cynthia Bridges planned to retire from her job as a receptionist when he turned pro. She was about to have a second knee replacement surgery, and she was going to have medical expenses. So Miles called her and said he had decided to become that most dreaded word in college basketball, a sophomore. She was incredulous. Cynthia says she tried anything and everything to change her son's mind, but the battle was lost. Truth is, it was lost before he ever played a game at Michigan State. It was lost one night on campus shortly after Bridges arrived in East Lansing. He and freshman Josh Langford were hanging out with junior Larolz Tumtum Naren Jr., talking about spirituality and religion and the purpose of their existence from 8 p.m. until 2 a.m. Bridges started crying. He told them, "This is what I prayed for before I got to college, to have a spiritual connection with people and find people who really care about me. Maybe you want us to stop right here. Come on, how naive can we be? This is college basketball. The best players leave. There must be more to this story." Maybe Bridges just isn't that good. But he is. Bridges is a 6'7" NBA slam dunk champion waiting to happen. Because of injuries to several Spartans, he played out of position at power forward last year, and he battled a left ankle injury, but he still scored an efficient 16.9 points and grabbed 8.3 rebounds per game. He probably would have been selected between 8th and 12th in a loaded draft, but in a typical year, he would have gone in the top five. Bridges' teammates had been telling their coach, Miles is coming back. Before the season had ended, Bridges told Langford and Nairn he wanted to stay in school. Langford was surprised at first. He knows how the sport works, but Langford did not need to ask any follow-up questions. If he says something, he means it, Langford says. I never second-guessed him. Izzo didn't realize that Bridges, unlike most players, considering a jump to the NBA, was not making a decision based on money or trophies. Money's the root of all evil, said Bridges. I'm not in it for the money. Bridges, Langford, and Nairn had been gathering every night for a Bible study and to talk about God. Langford says all three of us cry a lot. You just kind of get thankful about certain things. Bridges was thankful for his talks with Langford and Nairn. He didn't want to leave them. Bridges was a choir boy as a child, and like many choir boys, he sometimes complained about getting dragged to church. He sometimes complained about getting dragged to church. In college, he started to see his faith as more than just a set of rules. He started putting other people ahead of himself, and it made him happier. Michigan State coaches say they have never had a superstar like him. He cried when his teammate Aaron Harris suffered a career-ending knee injury last February. He returns his coach's calls and texts quickly. He does not own a car. He walks everywhere, Nairn says, explaining how his friend keeps things simple. He understands his purpose is bigger than basketball. You have the ability to make somebody's day. I've never seen him turn down a picture, never seen him turn down an autograph. When your best player is humble, it helps your team be like that. Maybe it will help you to know that for the longest time, Bridges was just like every other player eyeing the pros. His father, Ray, started talking about Miles' NBA career when Miles was in elementary school. It was all Miles wanted as a kid in Flint, Michigan. When his mom signed him up for the T-ball, he sat in the outfield and played with the dirt. He tried karate but got bored. He played football briefly but wasn't interested. He was a pretty good student, but even then, every essay was about basketball. His sister Tara, who was 9 years older, sat him down and tried to get him to write about something else, anything else. How about squirrels, Miles? He finally wrote a story about a fantasy land, for the ruler of the land was named King LeBron. Tara gave up. Miles grew tall and jumped absurdly high, and after his freshman season at Flint Southwestern Academy, he did what so many top players do these days. He left his hometown for a private school, Huntington Prep in West Virginia, one of those basketball factories that attracts talent from around the country. But it didn't feel exactly right to him. People try to put all the top players together on the same team, Bridges says. That just takes away the whole competitiveness of the game, the fun of it. It's the same way in the NBA right now. You should play high school ball where you came from instead of going somewhere to play. Before his senior year, Bridges asked his mom if he could move back home. Cynthia said no. She wanted him to finish what he started. Why was he so determined to go back? Miles says, the only thing I could think about was, how was I going to be able to come back and win a championship for Flint or Michigan? He wanted to strengthen his roots. Even now, when you ask him what he will do when he does make millions, he immediately mentions giving money to Flint's Boys and Girls Club and the people suffering from the city's water crisis. Says Bridges, I feel like that's my purpose in life. The city is what raised me. Maybe you should know, even after Bridges told Nairn and Langford he was coming back, he did his due diligence. He contacted former Michigan State star Draymond Green, Gary Harris, and Denzel Valentine. None of them told him what to do. But Green stayed 4 years. He has no regrets. Harris came back for his sophomore year and is glad he did. Valentine told Bridges he wished he could have had a fifth year at Michigan State. We should all remember that the next time we say a player's draft stock is so high that he has to go, no, he can go. He can also stay. He doesn't have to apologize for either. Breeders want to play one more year for a coach who can't trade him, with teammates who go to class with him. He has refined his game too, becoming a much more complete player now. Bridges says he wants to get a 4.0 GPA before he leaves, or at least a 3.5, which could land him on the dean's list. This won't help him get drafted into the NBA, and it won't earn him a degree in journalism, because everybody knows he is leaving after this season, for real this time. But he wants to make the dean's list because his grades were just okay last year, and he thinks he can do better. Izzo called him the night of the draft to see if he had any regrets. Bridges said he did not. This summer, Malik Monk, the 11th pick, bought his mother a new house and car. Bridges got himself a cat. He named it Calypso, after his favorite brand of lemonade. Maybe you think this won't last. Maybe you think Bridges will get rich and even more famous, and he'll change. But that's even more reason Bridges should savor this time in his life. He has one chance to be 19, with 19-year-old dreams and 19-year-old values and 19-year-old friends. He knows that someday I'll have a family, bills to pay, my mom and my sister to take care of. Nairn says the kid wanted to get better, but he also wanted to grow spiritually for when he goes into that world. Take the long view. He'd rather have 2 years in college and 14 in the NBA than 1 year in college and 15 in the NBA. What's so weird about that? Cynthia gets it now. She wasn't as desperate for him to leave as she thought she was. She is a worrier, that's all. Every time Michigan State assistant Mike Garland calls her, she immediately asks, "Is Miles okay?" When he comes home to Flint, she worries he will fall in with the wrong crowd. After his first practice this season, she asked if his ankle felt all right. But now, she realized that she would have worried about him in the NBA too, and for good reason. An agent who was recruiting Bridges told him that the NBA life was what it really was like. Some players go home to families after games, and others go out together. Teammates don't always like each other. They are fighting for the same jobs. It can be lonely. "You've got to be mature going into this," the agent says. The next day, Miles called his mother. "I only have 4 pairs of underwear." If he couldn't keep track of his underwear, he probably wasn't ready for the rest of professional life. And soon after Miles announced his decision, Cynthia realized he was right. She retired anyway. She had to hold on to a few more months, and then he will return pro and make the big money. If the teammate Miles can focus on the dean's list and Bible study and Calypso and his friends and the mid-range game he didn't have last year but has now, maybe he can win a national championship too, or maybe not. He will enjoy this season either way. The Spartans have a motto: it's not because you've got to, it's because you get to. Maybe everyone in the sport should adopt it. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or question, please call 919-832-5138.